Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you can't get enough of the Mixing Music Podcast and want three times the amount of episodes every week, subscribe to our exclusive content for only $4 a month or $40 a year at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Loquacious Lou.
Wait, Loquacious, remind me, that means someone who expands in further detail without the need to? Or am I getting that overly
just means done? It means you talk a lot.
That's yeah, all see, there we go, yeah. And I'm doing it actively.
We were teasing you at a party and calling you loquacious at a party recently.
I'll take it. It's accurate.
And I was like, hey, that starts with an L. That works really well.
Is it teasing or is it commenting when it's accurate?
Both. I think it was a form of, we were definitely playing.
Yeah.
But
it was just a little too real.
Took it personally.
Nah, honestly speaking, it's kind of funny because even I'll visit family, like on my dad's side of the family, and be like, man, you could just wind this guy up and he won't shut up. And I'm like, aw, thanks, guys.
I do like that immediately after we said that you start stories 24 hours before the important part of the information.
That's exactly what I did.
You did it. And after I said it, you're like, okay, I'll skip forward ahead. And Castillo talked about it. What could have started is I was at a club, went from.
Like, so me and my friends wanted to go out.
It was just funny.
But it's anyway, all about the context.
It was just so, it was such good comedic timing. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to. Well, I mean, that's why we do so well with the podcast is that we're both quite loquacious, right? We're both pretty long-winded.
Yeah, unfortunately, as a kid that studied to play trumpet, wind is definitely something you need. So for long-winded things, trumpet playing might be a good help for that.
Okay.
Just saying, you got to have good breath control.
All righty. Well, this episode is actually going to be really useful. This is something that I wish I heard when I was learning. You know, this is something that you don't really think about until you climb up the ladder and then you're like, okay, this might be just a good idea to do. In general, we want to talk about what, as a mixer providing a service, what sort of deliverables you should always consider, how to bounce stems, like, you know, bouncing an instrumental version, a clean version, what that really means. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all going to be based around the idea that almost every sync licensing company, for example, wants, you know, an instrumental, a TV mix, if there's background vocals like oohs and ahs, non-lyrical vocals.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they want the stems. Well, it depends on the format exactly that they want. But like, if you know that this artist isn't asking for that stuff, if you're using some sort of cloud service to upload and back up bounced files, like for example, we use FilePass.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass. I have a bunch of people using that subscription with that link. That's how Lou and I like keep money from falling between the cracks. You pay a cloud service to deliver files. They can't download the files unless it's paid for. So it's a really great system to do like demo mixes where you can mix something and they only have to pay for it if they like it because they can't download it until it's paid for. So it's actually,
That actually came in handy the other day for something that I forgot I did 2 months ago. Usually, if I work well enough with somebody and it's like, oh, the artist is going to take care of it, but I'm the mixer or whatever. It's like, all right, cool. Listen, I'm just going to go ahead and knock it out for you. That way we just get everything done on time. I'll send it off. And either way, they can't download it until they pay. I didn't know that they hadn't paid yet. I didn't know because I didn't have to keep track of it. I could just send it off and just be like, you know what? When they pay and they'll get access to their files then. Then I get a call from the guy. He's like, by the way, the song is dropping in 3 days. I'm like, oh, no way. That's cool. And like an hour after that call, I see a payment go through for the master. Nice. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even... When he told me that it was coming out, I thought they already had the master.
Yeah, nice, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it also, yeah, because the website will show you which ones are unpaid or partially paid or whatever. So
It eventually gets buried after so much work.
Yeah, for sure.
I should actually probably go through it.
Anyway, so the episode is not about FilePass, but FilePass does help a lot.
Shout out to those
guys. So we use FilePass. So what we do is every time I finish a mix and they approve it, I will always bounce various different types that are required. Preface before all this stuff is that each individual company, whether it's a sync or some sort of agency or talent management, it doesn't matter, or obviously a label, each company has different requirements. And what we're talking about is like the baseline average between all of them. Yeah. For example, most companies don't require an acapella, but might as well just bounce an acapella anyway.
You know what it's good for? Sync.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of sync companies don't even ask for it. So it's like, they want more like the TV mix, which is, again, the instrumental plus non-lyrical vocals. So oohs and ahs and harmonies, as long as there's no lyrics.
Yeah.
Right. And then what an instrumental is, I mean, by just the instruments by itself, things of that nature. So every company is different. So if you are submitting to a company or a label or a management team of some sort, just realize that they have their own systems. And what I have in front of me is the systems and the PDF specifically for Capitol Records, which is one of the companies that I submit to quite often, which is under Universal, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure. In general, with like higher level mixing, most of these companies, especially for sync, film, and TV, like at minimum, they want 48K. So that's something to consider as well. Like when you're mixing, you always want to mix whatever that you get. You can even upsample it if you need to. I do upsampling every once in a while. So if I use like if there's like a less professional producer who bounces me 4116, I will upsample to 48, convert the files. I know it doesn't do anything, but it's just because I know that the companies eventually
ask for that. Yeah.
So that's just something to consider. Anyway, Lou, what can you talk about the usual standard alt mixes that you always print? So let's say I'm a client, right? Mm-hmm. And I hired you to mix. We're on mix two or whatever, and I approve the track.
Yeah.
Okay, it's done. We're done mixing. What files typically do you recommend bouncing?
So I'm going to list them based on my organization, but obviously everybody's priority list is different. But I actually have a template where I just set my routing and stuff for mixing, but it's already like consolidated down to the print deliverables. So drums, bass,
so stems, we'll just generalize to say stems.
Stems wise, it'll be like drum bus, bass bus, Usually it's going to be like keys and then miscellaneous melodies. So things like strings or other things of that nature, sustained melodic information. And then SFX, which is usually special effects. So it could be like
risers, exactly, white noise, yeah, booms.
Things that wouldn't necessarily be an instrument per se, but rather an effect from said instruments.
Yeah.
And then you have lead vocals, backing vocals. This one's kind of a variable one. Some people want the lead and backing vocals with their effects printed in with them, and some people want them separately. Typically, I will give them separate unless otherwise asked for it, because some people want the vocals dry so that they can do whatever post stuff or any future stuff in the on their own without having to worry about a delay that's ringing out in the middle of a line. And then let's see, acapellas in general. So all vocals, no music. Instrumentals, all music, no vocals. A performance version, which typically on my end of the request is usually just take the lead out. They still want the backing vocals and all that kind of stuff. They still want harmonies. And then I also get requests for a all but drums and bass version. Usually meaning that they're going to perform with like a drummer live and they
That's
have a bass
common,
player.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they may not Especially have like a keyboardist, or the keyboardist is really just more of a filler player and more of a playback controller.
Yeah.
And then a master. And then I don't always do the clean if I'm not asked for it. That's just a me thing, because typically they'll let you know when they want a clean, or a clean isn't always necessary. Not every song I work with has like profanity in it.
Yeah. That's right. No. So, I mean, if I'm talking about like, I'm really future-proofing. So assuming that there's no company that's specifically requesting it, I'm just future-proofing this cloud. So I, even if someone asks for the individual files 5 years later and I've lost the entire thing, you know, I just want to make sure if I want it fully backed up. I mean, obviously the main mix, if I'm going to, I don't typically do this, but if I'm trying to be extra, I'll do a pre-master as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh,
And obviously an instrumental. Acapella is typically the least asked for, but I'll do an acapella. The TV mix if there's non-lyrical background vocals, right? I said instrumental as well. And then clean mixes if it is, if there is a clean mix. Anything else other than the pre-master, I'll just do them. If I've already mastered the track or put a limiter on it, the only pre-master I'll use is the main mix. Although if a label is specifically sending out mixes, for example, the last mastering engineer that the label wanted to use was Dale Becker from Becker Mastering. And in that situation, I had to print a pre-master for everything. So instrumental, TV mix, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But
doing stem mastering?
No. Just various alt mixes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, just the various alt mixes. So like typically the high-level mastering engineer will do the main mix, but as well as through the same mastering change, will print the instrumental, the TV mix, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But just so it's all the same process, they'll usually send it all over pre-masters.
Yeah.
So that's another thing as well. And then obviously we have the stems. Now again, the stems is going to be different for every single company, and especially naming is going to be really, really different for each company and each requirement. But in general, I think that some basic general guidelines that you can use is try to keep the stems less, like 15 to 10 max. Like if you can do, like you want to separate them as much as possible. But at the same time, the more you separate them, the more annoying it is for the person that is doing the editing or potentially using it. So hip hop songs, it's going to be like drums, melodies, vocals, background vocals. And then like a really intricate pop song, like for example, like a Michael Jackson song might be like bass, drum, keys, strings, horns. What else does he use? Percussion.
Yeah.
Car crashes. I'm just kidding. I don't know. Sound effects.
All the.
Yeah, the
just
hee-hees.
Yeah, all those got to be isolated. All those got to be
ad-libs on a second separate track. Ad-libs, background vocals, dubs. You know, whatever you want to do, but like most of the time, most of these companies don't want more than 10 to 15. In fact, I work with a label who's like specifically doesn't want more than like 12. They're like, if it's more than 12, it's too many and you need to redo it. Because they'll also ask you to print more if you need to. Many companies also specifically, almost always, including this, including Capitol Records, they'll say, we want the regular stem, like the buses, which, by the way, this is one way of using buses and mixing, right? If you mix top down or have buses while you mix, usually it's really easy to print stems because you already have built your mixing stems by having buses. Like you have a drum bus, you have a bass bus, you have a keys bus, you have a strings bus, right? That's part of it. It's practical to mix in that sense for printing as well. But a lot of companies, if they want anything separated out, it's always going to be drums. Yeah. So it's like they want the drum bus. But if you really want a future proof, but also expect that they may want all the individual drums separated as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, you said you have a template for printing all the stems out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's my mixing template. So everything gets organized and categorized by what I typically get requested for. Anytime I know in advance what they're actually asking for that's different, then I'll modify that said template to add a group for that. But I use the subfolders. And then from those folders, I'll actually do top-down mixing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I ask people to print exactly what they had and what they liked. And shout out to Prestone. He'll actually send me two folders. He'll send me dry and wet. And I usually start with wet. And if there's an issue with something that's wet, then I'll recreate it with the dry or, you know, correct whatever I need to correct. But that's kind of like the cool thing. Like, typically he will let me know in advance what deliverables he needs. And it's usually the same. But once in a while, there's a production where like, oh, we actually have this other element that I would also like a stem for. And it's like, great, no worries. I just create the bus. And then when it's time to print, I can actually highlight those folders, click bounce, and then it'll actually bounce those, assuming that there's nothing on the master bus yet. But if I want to actually do everything through the actual master bus, I use Bounce Butler, and I just create a separate session file so I can do each bounce individually.
Bounce Butler has a free version with like limited capabilities, but it's a software coding. It's basically an Apple code. Yeah, it's an Apple script that bounces stems for you. It's not the most intuitive thing, but it's actually saves you a lot of time, a lot of fun time.
Our friend, Shock, worked on one with his friend that, like, they're not selling it or anything, but it's just one of those.
Worked on a song?
No, a script.
A script, okay.
Yeah, and the script worked really well. There's, like, a few things that needed correction, but once he figured out how to correct it, I was like, oh, this is actually a little bit simpler, but depending on how my template is set up, depends if it fully works or not. We just found out that our workflow is quite a bit similar, but not exactly the same. So the script didn't work as well on my end.
Yeah, so scripts, yeah, that's a whole nother conversation for another time. If he really wants, I know some nerds that get into that. But there's a couple other things that I specifically want to talk about with these things that people will get wrong. Almost the number one mistake is the point of the stems is when I import the stems in a session, it should sound fucking similar to the final mix.
If not exactly the same.
If not exactly the same. And there's going to be a little bit, because when you bounce the stems, it's not, unless you're like using some sort of sidechain with the limiter and everything, sidechain, the limiter, that's fucking annoying. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But the point is, it should sound relatively the same. This even goes to when you're printing individual tracks. Stems and tracks are different. Stems is groups, where tracks is all the individual tracks. Does that make sense? I know that a lot of audio engineers are like, did you bring the stems? Stems is actually the colloquial and informal way of saying the individual tracks. But in real life, stems is groups, right? So I wanted to be clear about that. Anyway, even when an artist or producer sends me tracks, individual tracks, if the point is I want it to sound exactly like the mix. So if they send me, here's the rough mix and the individual tracks, if I import the rough mix, I want it to sound basically the same as the rough mix.
Yeah.
Unless I specifically ask for dry checks, which I almost never do.
Yeah.
I almost never do.
The only time that we really run into the issue of it not sounding exactly the same is the same reason that some engineers have opted out of heavy bus processing, which is like heavy compression on like the master bus, for instance. It's really hard to recreate that if you're just doing like the backing vocal group.
Amen, yeah.
You know, because the compression is not going to hit the same, so it's not going to actually, you know, squash or squeeze or hug it the same. And because of that, the only way around that is like what DK said, like the side chaining.
Yeah. So on that note, you may find yourself doing less and less mix bus processing because that's stuff that's not going to come out in the stems.
Yeah.
Especially with Pro Tools, the only way, if you do a lot of mix bus processing, the only way to get stems to go through that mix bus processing, even if you don't do the sidechain thing, so it's each individual stem you go through, you have to print it, like, and if you, especially if you use outboard gear, you have to print it 10 plus times for like one time for each stem that you're bouncing going through the mix bus. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have anything through your mix bus, what happens on Pro Tools is if you highlight the tracks that you want to bounce, the buses that you want to bounce, it just bounces directly out of that. It doesn't go through the master bus or through any sort of auxes that you've that you've actually like routed it to. It just does the output of that track straight up.
Yep.
So if, for example, if you have like a drum bus that goes to an instrumental bus, which goes to a mix bus, and you have a lot of processing on that instrumental bus, and you have a lot of processing on that mix bus, what happens is that that final sound is not going to, that stem that you bounce, if you want to do it the fast way, right, shift, alt, shift, option, command, B. on Mac, yeah, B, which will bounce the individual tracks that you've highlighted, It won't go through that stuff. It won't sound the same when you bounce the stem. Yeah. So in order to save time, a lot of engineers will, for practical reasons, for bouncing, they'll just go light on the mix bus or any sort of like instrumental bus or anything like that. I mean, you need to do what you have to do, but I wouldn't go super crazy with that because if you do need to bounce, it's just going to take a lot longer.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that the stem should sound similar to like together to the final mix.
Yeah.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Another thing that is really important, this happens all the time, is the stems don't match the length of the final mix. If the final mix is 3 minutes and 41 seconds, the stems better be fucking 3 minutes and 41 seconds, and they better start on the exact same millisecond.
I'm just kidding. If you're trying to get paid and you're still not using marker locations and things of that nature, because there is one second option on it. There's three options when you hit... I don't know what it is on a regular keyboard, but enter.
This is specific to Pro Tools. I don't know if any other, but they probably, other DOS probably have it, like memory locations.
Memory locations, and you can also do region select.
Yeah.
So you can, like for me, 0.99 point is always my bounce mix, meaning that anytime I bounce the mix, it's always
going to
line up. That's a 0.99
point is a quick key on the numpad.
Yeah, and that's where I always set on my template. That location is always automatically set. And then I can just edit what the end time is. Because my mixes always start at the top. I know some people do like two bars in or whatever, but mine always start at the top. So when they send me notes, I don't have to subtract time from it.
So what I do, this is so simple, you're going to laugh. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always have the rough mix, right? Uh-huh. And if I don't have a rough mix, I'll just do an audio track with a block, like an empty block. I'll create an empty block of just track. And so when I click on it, it highlights, right?
Yeah.
And so when I bounce the highlighted region, it bounces just within that region. But anyway, most of the time with the rough, I'll like, what I'll do is I'll match the rough up to the individual tracks or the stems, right? And I'll match it up so it's the first hit is exactly the same sample. And then when I do, if I do additional fade outs or anything out, I'll cut the demo to be exactly that, that original demo that's at the top. I'll cut it to be the exact length of the bounce. And I will use that as a consistent measuring. So instead of doing memory locations, I'll just have an audio block where I can just click on that and it'll automatically highlight that region.
That's actually pretty smart. I like that.
So instead, I don't use, I only use memory locations for, I mean, so that's just another way too. And if you need more, like they wanted to copy and paste some sections and make it a little bit longer and the rough mix doesn't have it, if you highlight that region and then go beyond it and then click, right click, hit group, it, it extends the audio block. So then I just use that as the main reference. So every time I want to bounce something, I just highlight it and then I go semicolon, semicolon, which is down. If I need to go down, right, then I'll just use P or semicolon, which is
up and
down. P to go up,
semicolon to go down.
No. So it's just, I use that basis. So I, every time I bounce, I have the same exact highlighted region.
So remember how I told you I was considering getting a one of the macro keyboards that you showed me that's like a numeric pad for the side? So a friend of mine apparently
like a custom
does
one?
That. So a friend of mine apparently does that, but he does it for memory locations.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
And so each macro is actually the macro number.
Oh,
and
for
it goes, and then when he holds option, it does the next layer. So one would be 10, two would be 11 or so. But it goes 0 to 9, but 0 normally is play, but he set that one as his bounce range. And I was like, I hate you because now I want this. And I know it's just an expense to hit a button. I already have the shortcut. I don't need this, but I love it.
Yeah, there's a, that's a whole nother world. I mean, I'm into building custom mechanical keyboards and they have custom like macro pads where you can program the buttons to do an entire script of things or just simple
apparently
buttons.
Baines has one, not...
not the Stream Deck?
He has the Stream Deck, but apparently he has... his audio suite and his clip effects macroed in.
That's a pretty common.
Yeah, which I like that because it's like one reference that he had was like de-essing.
There you go.
Know.
I don't like the thing with you need. I think you do need Stream Deck for audio suite stuff because unless there's like a hotkey on the keyboard available for a command, I don't think you can do macro because
I don't think so.
Like a custom macro pad, you can't do clicks.
Yeah.
Or like menu things. You know.
Which, by the way, guys, there's I think Stream Deck is free on your phone, isn't it?
I don't remember, but
I know
to install the macros for Pro Tools, you need to pay for the $10 a month or whatever.
Oh,
for.
To what's it called?
I forgot what it is.
But anyway,
I know
what
you're
talking about.
Because
Andrew Sheps is also on the platform too.
He
has his own version of Bounce Butler on that.
Yeah. Anyway, so as far as another thing too, so if you're literally like if you're trying to future proof right now, I know that you may be in a position right now where none of your clients are asking for these files, but if you're trying to just get it right, what I would do and what I would recommend every single mixer, every single time, and assuming that you are doing the mastering, if you're not, you just send them the pre-master versions. You just do the main mix, have it clearly marked, an instrumental mix, have it clearly marked, an acapella, have it clearly marked, a TV track if necessary. Not every song can have a TV track because not every song has vocals that are non-lyrical, right? But if it has oohs and ahs in the background, print that out. Or if it has vocal samples, I would do an instrumental without vocal samples. So even if the beat has like a pitched up, sped up vocal sample, I would do with and without the vocal sample because sometimes they don't want any sort of lyrics because that detracts from like a commercial. Like if there's a lady talking in the commercial or someone talking in the commercial, any sort of vocal in the song that they use in that commercial would be distracting. So
I mean, wouldn't that just be the instrumental at that point?
So the instrumental with and without the... the
vocal samples.
The vocal samples, any sort of vocalese. And then last thing is if possible, like a clean mix. I would have that. I put those all in a folder called masters or mixes. And then I would just put stems in. And if you really want to go the extra space, or if you're paying, if you have just a lot of space on your cloud, then I would make a duplicate copy of your Pro Tool session or of the session of your DAW only. And I think, and I don't know about any other DAWs, I can't speak for any other DAWs, but in Pro Tools, you can check. Says only save the active audio. So instead of doing instead of doing all the back audio that's not even shown up in the session,
like the playlist and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So can, it's a save copy in, and then you have three selections, two of which is audio files and main playlist only, and the third option being selected tracks only. So you can actually choose specifically to only have certain tracks. You can choose to make it the main playlist only, which means that it's going to take all the audio that is shown and actively in use. And then if you want to go as far as just clicking all audio files, that means that all audio that's within the session will be present. But then it negates the use of main playlist only.
There you go.
Yeah.
Lastly, if you really want to future-proof it, if you just directly upload the Pro Tools session, one thing that you would always want to do is that for as far as mixing plugins go, the expectation is whoever's mixing it will have all your plugins. And if they don't, it's there. Typically, if you're... That's part of the reason why you hire mixers, because mixers have all the plugins. So if you are wondering what plugins to buy and you're trying to spend money on Black Friday, just like... wait until you have sessions, you receive sessions that you don't have the plugins for, and then buy those plugins.
Yeah.
That's a really solid way of collecting plugins over the years.
Like Black Friday has already started for a bunch of companies. I know for Waves, even hardware companies already are sending me emails.
Yeah. So like get plugins because that's a thing too. Like if you receive a session from a label and it has plugins that you don't have, you got to fucking figure that shit out. You can always ask for the individual stems and whatnot.
You can always ask for the demo.
It's just friction that you don't want to add. Anyway, but the only, as far as like cultural expectations of plugins that you shouldn't expect anybody else to have is always MIDI or like virtual instruments. If you have MIDI or virtual instruments, always print those into audio files. That is a baseline expectation. And lastly, for individual tracks, even if you're just sending out the Pro Tools session, especially obviously for stems and the other alternate mixes, naming the files is super important. Naming the tracks.
God,
if I swear on my life, if I see an audio 23, audio 24, you are...
A bounce_1, bounce_2.
Yeah, you need to, you belong to a certain level of hell.
Yeah, that's why recently, like, I've been doing a lot of work with Preston recently, which is why I bring him up, just because he's top of mind. But it's really fun because he goes out of his way to even name the track, the song, the tempo, and the key of every stem. And I'm like, that's very redundant because you could have sent me, like, two of those bits of info on the track title. But... no matter what stem I'm looking at the very least, like I know what key, what tempo we're in, everything. But at no point do I ever see like audio_1. Like anytime he sends me notes, he knows what track, what the title of that track was, and I can go right to that track.
Yeah. Dude, using notes in the Pro Tools.
Oh like, my God. Pro Tools, yes.
Like if you have, like if you're sending a session to, like if you're a tracking engineer sending a session to a mixing engineer, feel free to use those notes and to say like, hey, we had issues with this one. That's why you see this is a different color or like whatever. Yep. Like feel free to leave notes in. That's actually really, really helpful.
It's extremely
setting
helpful.
Each other up for success.
Yeah. Not only that, but have you seen individual track markers are now a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love it so much because I've been wanting that for years. I've been, like, Cubase had that.
In Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Finally getting features that every DAW already has.
10 years ago.
Yeah. I will say, though, that as far as, like, the file naming and stem file naming, every company is slightly different. So just if you are, I mean, just make it super clear, song name underscore, artist name underscore, you know, mix type, you know, at the very minimum. And then, like, artist underscore, song name underscore, you know, if it's a stem, you might even include tempo underscore, the stem description, bass stem, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just like make it, as long as it's clearly marked that you know, if even if you have to go back and grab them 10 years later, just as long as they're clearly marked, you may have to rename them for each individual time that you send it out to various different management and companies anyway. So at the very least, we just haven't done an episode about alt bounces. And that's just something that I wish I did from the beginning. Because at the beginning, I would only give them the final mix and like 3 years later when the song, when the artist is finally getting professional enough to give their entire portfolio to a management company, the management company's asking for stems. I'm like, I don't even have the hard drive. I don't even know where to look.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah, like I wish I had those bounced and backed up, or at least like I sent it to them for them to download. So they had backups of that, you know?
What was good is, so anytime I'm doing DDP encoding, which for anybody that doesn't know, DDP encoding is when you actually encode like UPC
The metadata behind the audio file.
You want to be doing this. If you're not going through a streaming platform to get your ISRC codes, or you want better control of how you're, you know, choosing to release the music, you want to do your own coding. It just makes it easier versus like, oh, well, the version of the song that has the code embedded in it is only on streaming platforms. I actually don't have a master file with the ISRC codes and stuff like that. And that becomes an issue when you're sending files directly out for like playlisting on like radio stations and things like that. But I had a client call me this weekend saying, hey, this Christmas song is coming out. And it's, I wouldn't say it's like, oh my God, it's a big one. It's not like Chris Brown, but for me, it's a big one because it's one of my favorite celebrities since I was growing up that I got to work on this one with. And they actually came and recorded it at the studio. So like, for me, this is kind of a special Christmas one.
Yeah.
But he asked me a very specific question. He's like, hey, do you have the ISRC codes to the song? And I'm like, let me double check. And I was at the gym. And by having a shortcut on my phone for FilePass, I was able to actually go on to FilePass, look at the zip file that I had uploaded of the DDP session, and in there was the PQ sheet. And the PQ sheet shows you all the ISRC codes and metadata for every song that you coded. Once again, even if it's just the stems or just little bits of info that they're asking you and paying you for, you should have a backup of that.
Yeah.
Because that is what made the difference between them getting it to the radio station that night by deadline or not. And if you're not able to help them get to deadline, even on a short notice, it's not your fault that they're asking you for this at last minute. I understand that. But you are that much more of their friend and hero when you're able to.
It's a really easy way to win them over just by being prepared.
It's once again going above and beyond without noticing it at first.
It's a, it's an industry filled with underprepared creatives. And if you can be the one solid foundation, the pillar of hope that is always overly prepared, that will really, really help you out in situations, and honestly will get you gigs more than you can understand. But as far as ISRC codes, I want to be very brief about that. As far as I understand, it is the publisher's job to provide the ISRC code. So when typically speaking, it is the mastering engineer's job to encode the metadata into the final masters. But that's typically not taken care of by the mastering engineer anymore. It's usually taken care of by the distributor. So when you go to DistroKid, by the way, mixingmusicpodcast.com/DistroKid, if you're trying to get a discount off of your yearly subscription there. If you go to DistroKid and they want to submit music, they will ask you if you already have an ISRC code. Most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't. If you are a label and you are the publisher, you may register to get your own ISRC codes.
ISRC.com.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, is that what it is? I don't remember. You can get it. I think I have my own ISRC codes too that I haven't used in a while.
Yeah, I think they give you like 100,000 on your order.
Yeah, and you have to do you have to register a new one. Yeah. I think they give you a PDF of which ones you use and you cross them off as you use them.
Per registration, I think is like $25.
I don't remember what it is. Anyway, so it's like, if the label is going to send you this IRC codes or the metadata to encode into the bounce, that's typically the mastering engineer's job. And that could be done in software outside. I don't think Pro Tool does encoding. No,
you can use things like Waves Labs, which is made by the same creators as Nuendo and Cubase. You can do it in DDP Creator by Sonoris.
Yeah, it's a separate
Hofa
software.
Has another cheap one. And they also have a free one that's kind of limited in what it can do, but Hofa, Sonoris, and Waves Lab would be the top three that I see in the industry.
For like the older heads, you know how like when you had MP3s that were like really high quality on your MP3 player, it would show the image of the album, album image. It would show you the song name and the album name.
The composer,
all the like this. That's the metadata behind the MP3 or the WAV file.
Which, by the way, is for anybody that does do DDP creation, which I don't know how many of y'all do, but the cheat code to crediting people that wouldn't normally pop up in the liner notes is the comments section. Because if you go on your computer and you get more info, comments pop up. And so I make sure every mixing, mastering, and any kind of engineers that are included on the production are mentioned in the comments, just to make sure that they actually pop up outside of like, oh, well, they're not a composer, they're not an artist, they're not a performer.
I've never done that a single time.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. But that being said, like, there's no easy way to do that in Pro Tools.
Just Wavelab, Sonoris, and Hofa. Hofa being the cheapest at, like, think at, like, $60. Sonoris being the most expensive because it's only DDP creation at, like, $600, $700.
By the way, anybody listening right now, that's not something that we recommend you do. Like, if you have access to do that, that's, like, a cool bonus thing. But don't feel like you're missing out.
If you get paid to do it, then great. If you don't get paid to do it, don't even bother with it.
Yeah.
I get paid to do it, so don't worry about it.
Again, if you are not your own publishing, if you do not own a label, you probably do not have your own metadata to begin with, and that's what the job of these distributors do.
And
so
to
now,
be honest, most of the people that ask me for this are usually people older than me.
Yeah, there you go. So, it's an old school way of doing it. So now, if you upload through DistroKid, they take care of all the metadata for you and encode it as you upload to their website, and they distribute it to Spotify. They take care of putting in the information that you typed onto their website into the encoding of the final file that they upload. Yep. So don't worry about that. I think that's kind of it as far as uploading and bouncing alt stems. I think the only thing that I want to mention is like clean versions. Just double check. They rarely ever need it, but sometimes, and this is only if they're like really explicit about it, there's a difference between a clean and a squeaky clean. Sometimes they ask for a squeaky clean. Sometimes. I think I've only been asked once in my entire...
I think the squeaky clean is specifically for TV.
I don't know
like
what it
for
is.
Music video.
But I mean, clean is regular swearing. Right? Mm-hmm. Damn shit, fuck,
I
ass,
think you
hell.
Can still say goddamn.
No. I would just cut everything. Like, there's no point in like, oh, damn is a light word. And this is also country dependent too.
Yeah,
so like
so
Australian.
Like,
and England
our friend Jonah America. Just came back from playing with Rich.
I think goddamn is censored, unless, it used to be at least.
Yeah,
it doesn't
Rich
matter.
Brian. But he told me that, like, depending on the context of the same word, depends if it could be allowed to be said in China. So the same word is allowed and not allowed depending on the context of the phrasing.
I would, if you're going to have to bounce just one version, I would just steer clear of keeping all of the, even the low swear words. I would just bounce those out because like nobody's going to listen to the clean version anyway. And they probably don't want to hear anything. Anyway, so then there's the hyper clean version. Usually like squeaky cleans or hyper clean versions, they want to take out any sort of references to like drinking or smoking. So if there's like, we're getting drunk on the, they want you to take out drunk.
They want to say, we're getting crunk on a.
Yeah, whatever.
No, I've had to do the vocal replacement mixes as well, where they send me A version and clean version.
Yeah, if they do vocal replacements, they will send that to you beforehand so you know what's going on.
Yeah.
To be honest, 4 out of 5, 9 out of 10 times, they just want you to just mute it. And you can always do like the verify or like the tape stops and starts. You can always do that sort of stuff. But honestly, at the bare minimum, just mute it.
Yeah, sometimes those like effects are more distracting than they're supposed to be.
Yeah, just mute it. You don't want, it's not that important. The last two where they replace the songs, the artist is like, what's the point of having the explicit version? Let's just use the clean version.
Yeah.
So it's like, that became the main mix. Yeah. It's like,
if you're really good at, like, there's something I'm not good at, and I praise those that are, like, vocal chop edits have never been in my strong house.
That's something that, like, a producer might do.
Yeah, so, like, if you can make clean edits sound cool, honestly, this applause is for you.
Also, clean edits are not half as important as it used to be.
Like
you have to go out of your way to find clean edits of songs anymore. Censorship was a bigger deal 30 years ago.
I used ChatGPT to update me on what words were allowed about like a week or two ago. And because the free version of ChatGPT is back in 2021, it's like, well, these were the words that were allowed, but there have been recent changes. I was like, oh, God damn it. I don't want to have to do the research.
Yeah. There's it's wild. So anyway, just make sure you communicate and you just go the extra mile, having these bounces done. Anything outside of the scope of what we talked about, that's fairly normal. Just make sure that you actually, I swear on my life, if they give you a PDF of how to bounce stuff, read it. Do not, I don't care if you're the dumbest human being on planet Earth. You got to read that shit and you got to be really precise.
Honestly speaking, if somebody's paying you to do something and you decide to ignore part of the work, should they pay you full rate or should you just not get paid at all? Like, honestly speaking,
I will say that anybody who does that even once, like if that's something that you like slip up on every once in a while, you're probably not going to do well. So
yeah,
it's just not even worth it.
Like, it's literally written down for you. Yeah, I don't know how much more direct it can be.
If hiring you as a mixer creates more friction because you're annoying or you have a bunch of ego or whatever like that, there's no reason to hire you. So anyway, so just again, the point is to remove friction, to be easy to work with, and to do things right the first time.
And if you fuck up, just say, you know what, let me fix that. If there seems to be some tension that you're unaware of, just always give the constant reminder of, hey, I'm here to work with you, so just let me know what we need to do, and let's get it done.
Yeah, I will say, though, as professionals, as a professional, I don't fuck up. I am the quality control. Like, and I'm like, I'm not just like trying to be exaggerating. I'm not like exaggerating or like saying anything like this. Like, if you are the type of person that no shows, you know, once a year, that is way too much.
That is actually already fucked up.
Yeah, that's like even if you're like, oh, I don't no show or like go late to meetings sometimes, like I only do that every once in a while, like that's already way too much.
Yeah,
that's already way too much. You got to be the type of person that nobody even can second guess. Oh, this guy's if they're looking at the clock and you haven't shown up yet, it's like that. You want to be the type of person where they have absolutely no fear that you're going to be late, you know. So it's like, just be that guy. Don't, there's no exceptions. Just assume that. And as you're learning and growing, obviously you're going to make mistakes, but if you've been doing this for 10 years and you're still fucking up and you're constantly getting asked for revisions or you're like, you can't do the shit that you've been asked to do. Like, that's probably why you're not doing as well recently.
Yeah. To be honest, like there are going to be people who carry you in their good graces. And because of that, you might fuck up once.
That's a bad power dynamic, too.
No.
You don't want to be the type of guy that you owe favors.
No. It's not the favors. It's saying that if you've been so consistent for like the last year or two with this client and you're late once and you communicated that in advance saying, hey, I'm really sorry, this happened, they might give you a pass on that one. But if it starts to become a pattern because you felt comfortable enough to repeat that, you are going to lose your client. You know, the good graces should not be assumed as static okayness.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just be a good, disciplined human being and you will actually do well.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So on that note, thank you so much for listening. This camera is wigging out. I apologize. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. If you haven't already, go check out our exclusive content at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive, where you get 2 extra episodes every single week hidden behind a paywall for $4 a month or $40 a year. That's literally less than a single cup of coffee at Starbucks or any of your local barista shops for really awesome specific information on mixing tips that we break down. James, Braden, and I break down. It's really, really helpful, I think, for anybody that's signed up. We always get new names on there, so thank you so much for signing up. If you want to support the show in a way that is completely free, just rate 5 stars. Whatever platform that you use, Google, Apple, Spotify, whatever you can.
Leave us a comment on the platform that you can.
Yeah, leave comments, anything. Just interact in one way or another. Just say hello. Ask questions. We love to answer them. We might do another. We might do more Q&A episodes in the future.
Qua.
Anyway, but thank you so much for listening. We appreciate this. We hope that we've been helpful in helping you build a career as an audio engineer, specifically as a mixer. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.